So lots of details coming out of Iran regarding its nuclear program, and we've been following them over the last several weeks. The international community wants, the Iranian government has been quoted as saying that it may agree to send abroad a part of its existing stock of low-enriched uranium for further processing. That is, the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, inspected that formerly secret facility in the city of Qom. And the question is there, will inspectors be allowed easy access to all of Iran's nuclear program? And we're going to find out by talking with Scott Ritter, former chief weapons inspector for the United Nations Special Commission in Iraq from 1991 to 1998. Scott Ritter joins us from Albany, New York. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
And also John Line, BBC Tehran correspondent, joins us from London. John Line, first of all, what are the various relationships between the details we're learning about Iran's nuclear program in Qom, in places like this alleged deal that the IAEA has proposed and that Iran is supposedly considering for sending low-enriched uranium out of the country, possibly to Russia? Are they related, or are these all separate tracks?
Well, to some extent, they're related because, of course, this plant in Qom was revealed. It seems like the Iranians decided they had to announce it because they realized that Western intelligence were onto it. So they were rumbled. I think that would be the Western analysis. Anyway, of course, Iran would deny it. And as a result, we then saw Iran in a bit more of a cooperative mood. They were talking more cooperatively when they came to this first new round of talks in Geneva at the beginning of October. And in those talks, the West believes Iran agreed to this deal under which it ships out its stocks of enriched uranium, the stuff that potentially could be used to make a bomb, and this is turned into new fuel for this research reactor. So in other words, Iran's perhaps slightly more cooperative mood seems to have been inspired by the fact that they were caught off their guard. However, of course, it's not so simple now when we're not quite clear how cooperative Iran is now being.
Sure. Well, to attempt to assess that, Scott Ritter joins us, former chief weapons inspector for the United Nations Special Commission in Iraq back in the 1990s. Scott Ritter, you know, as we saw in Iraq, the inspection regime there became a political circus where it was very difficult for people on the outside to know what was going on or if they were deliberately either overemphasizing or de-emphasizing the nuclear program in Iraq. Reality just went out of the window. How do you characterize the challenges facing IAEA inspectors in Iran at this point?
Well, first of all, the IAEA inspectors in Iran are there to do a technical job, to basically implement the safeguards agreement between the International Atomic Energy Agency and Iran. It's pretty much a straightforward task. It's complicated by the politics that get woven over the top of it that are brought on by nations that aren't so much concerned about the non-proliferation treaty as they are concerned about Iran. There's an anti-Iran policy in place in the United States and elsewhere. Regardless of what President Obama says about the need to engage, he inherited a policy objective of regime change, and many aspects of that policy are in place. And this is what
indeed, Scott Ritter,
the task.
As you say, the Turkish government has actually criticized as recently as this morning that apparent double standard. Do you think that the IAEA is forced to treat Iran differently from other nations because of political actors like the U.S. government?
Absolutely. I mean, the bottom line is we have in place today a number of Security Council resolutions that weren't brought about by IAEA intervention, but rather pressure by the United States to create a new set of standards because, frankly speaking, Article 4 of the Non-Proliferation Treaty allows Iran the right to enrich uranium. It also allows Iran the right to purchase uranium abroad for its reactors. But the fact is Iran is not allowed to function as a member of a functioning member of the IAEA because of this double standard, and it complicates everything. Look, we have inspectors on the ground in Iran looking at what is pretty much an empty facility. And yet, take a look at the hype that takes place around this empty facility. It's going to be under full monitoring. The world will know exactly what's going to happen step by step by step. And yet, people talk about a secret nuclear weapons facility or program derived from this very facility. It's absurd in the extreme.
But Scott Ritter, I think part of the skepticism that comes there on people's part is saying, how can you possibly know that you've seen everything at this facility. How can you possibly know the Iranians didn't move some things out of the way in the weeks they had to prepare for this visit? How do you know the extent of the activities on the parts of the Iranians?
Well, see, that now we bring in the earlier question in relation to Iraq. How do you prove a negative? People can sit back right now and say just about anything they want about the Iranian program. They can make it up. In fact, there's been allegations that much of the information that's out there today about an Iranian nuclear weapons program is fabricated by opposition elements opposed to the theocracy in Tehran. And so you throw something out there, and now it's up to the Iranians to prove that these allegations aren't true. Before one talks about movement of material, there must be evidence that material was moved. You can't speak hypothetically. That's
how Understood.
The inspection program works.
Okay, Scott Ritter, hold on there for a second. I mean, we don't have much time, but John Lyne, is there an innocent before proven guilty or a guilty before proven innocent burden on the IAEA's part when they inspect a nation like Iran?
The problem about this is that the key part of this program, the uranium enrichment, doesn't currently have a civilian purpose because Iran doesn't have a reactor it can use that enriched uranium in. Yes, one is being built at Bushehr, but the Russians not only are supplying the enriched uranium, they would not allow the uranium that's been enriched to be used in it.
Great point, John Lyne. Great point. Let's put it to Scott Ritter. I mean, are you allowed to have enriched uranium if you don't have a reactor to use it in, Scott Ritter?
Look, when you're speaking about an atomic energy program, you're talking not just about reactors, but the ability to fuel the reactors throughout the life of the reactors. Iran has said, and it's been saying consistently since 1975, that it needs a nuclear energy program inclusive of indigenous enrichment.
All right, then it better get a reactor that it actually can use the enriched uranium. Scott Ritter, former chief weapons inspector for the UN in Iraq, and John Lyne, BBC Tehran correspondent. Thanks to both of you.